Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Molloy.
It sure is. Welcome to the big Tuesday edition. A lot of ground to cover today. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Molloy.
Hello, Dave.
Mickey,
how are
Jane.
You?
It is a big, busy day.
We've landed on Mars again. I don't know why. I don't know for what purpose. We're back on Mars. We'll put it up on blocks and take a closer look.
And look out. Elon Musk is going to edge everyone out. He wants to go and have a visit to Nanny State alert.
Oh, my God.
Monkey bars. Looks like kids might not be able to get on.
Hey, we're going to talk about kids in particular and schools and the nuttiness attached to
it. God's sakes.
It is a war on monkey bars. We'll get to that. Hello.
What's that?
Babe yourself.
What?
Your little lover
don't
boy.
Don't you call him
Dr.
little.
Chris Brown.
Don't call him boy.
In.
Don't call him little.
I thought you dressed up today.
You've done
your hair.
I haven't done my
Normally
hair.
Normally you don't even have put makeup on.
No, I put dry shampoo in. It's a special day.
Well, don't be mean. He's got a girlfriend.
Yes.
Just let it.
I don't think it's appropriate to quiz Dr. Chris Brown about his love life on this show,
bring
it up.
We will be doing that.
Someone who's got a ripping book out for wonderful reasons is our great mate Sam Johnson. He's coming in. There's a book called Dear Santa, and he's called on just a few of his celebrity mates, like a million.
That's right. Well,
they've all written a letter to Santa, which is fabulous. Hang on. I'm seeing, speaking of romance, Cassie.
Don't you, Cassie.
Cocaine Cassie.
Cocaine Cassie.
She's still in the clink.
But maybe there's a conjugal visit.
I think she might make the Mickey Molloy list
in the offing. We'll see how we go.
She's no heiress, but...
Hey, with so much more to do, we'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets.
We will.
Animal Kingdom, we'll be taking calls on that.
Oh, excellent animal stories.
Welcome to you. How was your day, Jane?
Oh, just, you know, run-of-the-mill mummy day today.
Good for you.
Yeah. What about you? Did you have a few meetings?
I had a speaking engagement. I had to just go and speak to a group of people.
Was that where, at a school or...?
No.
Was it a lunch, mum's lunch or something?
Oh, no, not
charity
really.
Event.
No, it wasn't charity.
What was it?
Well,
it's the way you dressed. What are you?
Well,
what are you doing? What are you talking about?
Where have you been?
Where have you been? It was a beer company.
You haven't been to another brewery?
It was a brewery. I was at a brewery.
Come on, hang on. Is this a weekly?
No,
do you have a conjugal visit with a brewery?
No,
what is this?
I went out to the. I was in Melbourne today for the. For the 50-year anniversary of the VB ad. You know, the fame, one of the most iconic ads in Australian history. It's up there with Happy Little Veggie Miners. Yeah. It's up there with your
I know it as well as the Hail Mary.
Well,
yeah,
it is my Hail Mary.
It is your Hail Mary.
I often sing that in church.
Really?
While I cross myself.
Have you got it here?
This is the 1968 version.
Yeah.
I tell you what it was. It was the 50th anniversary of this first. This was the first one we heard 50 years ago today. Have a listen.
You can get it walking. You can get it talking. You can get it working a plow. Matter of fact, I got it now.
Bringing the horns of the strings.
How good
is that? Do you know how many times I've had to come up with a rhyme for the word now? Matter of fact, I've got it now. I heard five different ads today. I'm milking a cow. Matter of fact, I got it now.
Well, I just looked up words that rhyme with cow.
Oh, yeah?
You could have done it chopping a bough.
I know that's
cutting,
in there.
Oh, it is?
Whether you're lopping a bough.
Oh, there you go.
That is one of them.
Whether you're saying chow.
Whether you hoe into your chow. I don't know.
Is that the great John Millian?
It's the great John Millian.
Yeah, that's fabulous.
And William McGuinness does it today.
Oh.
So William McGuinness, and he was there too.
Oh, was he?
Yes.
That's good. I mean,
that'd be a chick magnet, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, guys, what do you do? Oh, I'm the voice from the VB ads.
Well, that's Hall of Fame.
I've been getting him to ring me up and do it down the phone.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. More of that, please, William. And I met the brewer. The brewer came up to me and said, do you remember you came on a tour of the brewery?
Of course he did.
About 15 years ago.
You're the patron saint of breweries at the moment.
He said, yes. He said, you look pretty excited. I said, well, it was. It was like a Willy Wonka.
This is the master brewer of VB.
It's master brewer.
That's unbelievable.
He's got the secret recipe.
He's got the secret recipe.
Wow.
Yeah. I said, you're not the guy who took it from 4.9 to 4.6%.
Yeah, right.
I said, it was a sad episode.
Those
days. I don't talk about that.
Yeah. I remember those dark days with all my male mates.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. It's on the telly as we speak.
Matter of fact, I've got it now.
Yeah. Bang, 1968.
50 years.
That was it. I'll probably bob off on this.
So you know how I write cookbooks. You should do like beer. You should write about the history of beer or something.
There's some
like
very
that.
Good beer ads. There's been some good beer ads. So there he is, the great choice. There I am.
Oh, you're on TV.
On the telly.
Right
hey,
now.
Hey, there's a couple of greats.
William McGuinness and Mick Malloy currently on Channel 9.
Lucky I fessed up about yes. what I was doing today.
Imagine if you said you had a charity yeah. thing for, you know, something to do with Christmas and you were feeding homeless people.
What's
and I went,
important?
Good for you, Mick. Isn't that wonderful? And then I look up on the screen and I go, yeah. is that the launch of...
Can I ask you what's more important?
He didn't hear
feeding
that.
Homeless kiddies who are having a couple.
I think we know the answer.
I think
to that.
We can.
All right.
Rest assured. All
can
right.
they get beer to Mars? There's a question. Yeah.
Well, that's the only scientific testing I would be doing in Mars.
It's pretty important.
Can a can retain its fizz? There
that
it is.
Do something
all
like
right.
that.
Good
well
luck,
done.
Everybody.
Congratulations. Happy Mars. Birthday, VB.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
50 meters, constant velocity. 17 meters, standing by for touchdown. Touchdown confirmed.
The 880-pound craft slowing from 12,000 miles per hour to zero. The lander will now spend 2 Earth years on Mars, using a French-built seismometer to study Mars quakes. Instruments will burrow up to 16 feet underground to learn more about the planet's previously unseen interior. NASA scientists hope to discover clues to how Mars was formed and how it differs from our own planet.
Wow.
Mm. There's a science lesson in 60 seconds.
Have you all been brought up to speed, you lot?
I was going to say all that. I know all that.
You don't know all that.
I do know all that.
Why do we keep going to Mars? It's a stupid red planet.
Because we've been to the moon.
It's full of dust. It's got dust all over it. And we keep sending like a skateboard with a camera on top.
We like it.
Until it falls over or runs out of juice and then we send another one. What have we accomplished from?
Well, first of all, Germany's in charge of the mole.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, there's a mole that's going to dig to find out and get down to find out what's how hot it is on Mars, really,
right.
and whether there's going to be earthquakes or tsunami. Well, there won't be a
Mars
tsunami.
Quakes.
Mars quakes. Mm. You watched it, didn't you?
I did. 7 o'clock this morning.
Oh, nerd!
Got the alert
you
on the phone.
What do you watch? You watch
the International
TV.
Space Station. I follow. By the way, get the ISS tracker on one of your apps, and you can track when it comes over your place.
Or get a life or a girlfriend. Whatever you'd prefer.
He doesn't need a girlfriend. He's got a lovely wife. I do love all this stuff. I love now the technology that we have. You can keep watching it. You can. It's going to be there for 2 years.
Two Earth years. Mm. How's that different from a Mars years?
I'm not sure the ratio of Mars years to Earth
years. Nothing's happening. It just seems a lot longer.
It's also got a Twitter account.
So what's the machine they've landed? Has it like got wheels?
It's a digger.
Hmm.
Is it going to move around though?
Oh, well, I'd say so.
Can it jump stuff?
Probably.
Could you set up like 6 Mars rocks?
I think the rover could do that, the last one.
The rover could. You're a bit too demanding, I think. What I like knowing, though, and hearing, when you talk about space stuff, I'm going, I actually said, well, who's in charge of this mission? I think we know who is.
Oh, yeah. The leader of the Space Force.
Yes, let's have a listen.
We are finally going to lead again. You see what's happening? You see the rockets going up left and right? You haven't seen that for a long time. Very soon we're going to Mars. You wouldn't have been going to Mars if my opponent won.
Oh, jeez.
That I can tell you. You wouldn't even be thinking about it. You wouldn't be thinking about it. My new national strategy for space recognizes that space is a warfighting domain.
Space force.
Just like the land, air, and sea. We may even have a space force. Develop another one. Space force. We have the Air Force. We'll have the Space Force. We have the Army, the Navy. You know, I was saying it the other day because we're doing a tremendous amount of work in space. I said, maybe we need a new force. We'll call it the Space Force. And I was not really serious. And then I said, what a great idea. Maybe we'll have to do that. That could happen.
Again, the audience
Space Force.
Laughing at him.
We're winning. We're winning in space.
Laughing at him.
Tremendous.
So, well done. It is all down to you. And we wouldn't be in Mars today if his opponent had won. It's all down to him. Or what are they doing? So what are they? What do you say they're doing? They're digging.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the point of that?
Because they're trying to find out. It's all to do with climate change. And they're trying to work out what kind of climate is on Mars and how it will affect Earth.
Okay, great. You know what's even more impressive?
What?
Shooting your first car into space. Now, that's something worth. Where's Elon Musk?
You had
when
to
you
bring
need
him up, didn't you?
Where's Elon Musk?
I'm
that's
over
the,
him.
That's the future of space.
Are you still on him or not?
No, I'm off him.
You off him now?
No, ever since
it's too good for you.
Ever since he met that guy in the caves.
Oh, that's right. He had the submarine organiser.
He turned on the guy.
When he called in that name that I'm not going to repeat. Oh,
but listen, now that's what space travel's all about.
We're still up
just
for
you
it.
Load up a cannon, a rocket like a cannon,
yeah.
And bang, shoot off the... goes your first car, yeah. Your Ford Escort, into space, still on its way.
Yeah.
Now that's a message that's
loud and clear, thanks.
To frontiers that haven't been. Mm. Why would you not do that?
I don't know.
Oh, let's go dig for climate change. Good on you, you science nerds.
I'm not sure Stephen Colbert thinks much of that.
What are you talking about?
Well, Stephen Colbert actually had a chat with Elon Musk about his dreams and hopes.
How'd that go?
Oh, I want to have a listen. Yeah.
You sincerely think that we should go to Mars?
Yeah.
Why do we want to go to Mars? It's uninhabitable.
It is a fixer-upper of a planet. Mm-hmm. First, you're going to have to live in transparent domes, but eventually...
Yes, we're going to be huffing each other's stank.
Yeah, but eventually you can transform Mars into an Earth-like planet.
How would you do that?
You'd warm it up. Drop thermonuclear weapons over the poles.
You're a supervillain. That's what a supervillain does.
Yeah.
See, that seems like a Bond villain. Elon Musk would be a great Bond villain.
It is better to do your nukes up on Mars than it is
go
here.
Go and shoot some rockets into space and change Mars. Don't send something up to dig a hole. They're digging a hole. Get Elon Musk into NASA. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
I'd say he'll be gearing up as we speak.
I'm all for space travel, but let's have some fun while we're at it, you know?
You're for a space force.
I'm up for space force. I'm up for shooting rockets and shooting cars.
It's got to be a big day for everybody who was in that, you know,
well
room
done,
when it all
everyone.
Went off. I always love hearing it. Touchdown. We have touchdown. I love it.
Yeah, and everyone rising and applauding.
Excellent. Yeah, and they all got glasses and white shirts and ties.
They'd be going home. It'd be like a really nerdy root fest, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. Only you can bring it down to a root fest. Thank you, Dave.
That much. It'd be like a,
yes.
a frat party, but for really nerdy
with
people.
With cups of tea.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Well,
get Elon Musk involved.
Yeah, good on your mum.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Rules.
This is the world we live in.
We got some rules around here.
Are they joking?
You believe that you are special, but somehow the rules do not apply to you.
This is anarchy.
We should write letters.
Has the world gone mad?
Now what kind of a society is it that would allow such a thing?
Kennedy Malloy.
The rules have just changed.
Living in a nanny state.
You're always making things difficult.
You know this stuff gets me really angry, don't you?
Me too.
I know you're
on it. I can get steam coming at me.
Just we've got kids growing up. They're going to grow up the most sanitised, stupid...
Soft.
They'll live till 120 because there's nothing
the
now that can
that?
Kill you.
They but can't drink. They won't smoke.
They have no memories of anything exciting or interesting.
No. Nope.
Okay, here's what's got me today.
What's happened?
It is the...
Whoa. I beg your pardon.
Jane Kennedy, I kid you not, the monkey bars, which was where we all learnt our stripe.
Absolutely.
In the tan
That's
bark,
where everyone got to see my undies hanging upside down on a monkey bar.
Well, it wasn't the last time, but it was...
Close.
It was the start
that
of
was only last
career.
Year.
To the Christmas party last Friday. Now, listen... This is unbelievable, and I'm not joking. There is an assault out. There's a serious attempt to get the monkey bar out of the school playground, out of the adventure park, out of the tan bark.
And I taught me through this.
Well,
what's happened?
Proponents of it say they encourage children to play outside in an age of dominated by screens and videos and all that type of stuff. Body strength, upper body strength, it's great for all this stuff. Yeah. But those... who are against them say they are the leading cause of childhood accidents and can lead to traumatic injuries. In fact, 41%, there's been a 41% rise in the emergency department visits in most states due to the monkey bar.
Okay.
Now, this is an incredible statistic. In some states, you know what they're doing now? There's an inquiry, an investigation. The Standards Australia Committee sets the standards which have seen monkey bars become lower to the ground. So this is stuff they've already done. Lower to the ground, more compact, and the surface beneath them softer.
Well, they must have a mattress underneath.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Would you need a mattress considering they're now 3 foot off the ground? This is incredible
stuff.
Okay,
here's one of the first amazing things. Kids can't climb trees anymore.
Well, you've got to chop them down.
You've got to chop them. And
chop
if you see a kid in a tree... No good.
My kids climb trees.
Yeah, mine too.
Well, we sneak them on. But my kids get told to get down from a tree if they're near the park and a teacher sees them.
Oh, good Lord.
So upper body strength, you're right, this is affecting kids. So what? Look, I'm a broken arm or a wrist. Isn't that part of childhood? Am I going mad?
Next.
You don't encourage
they'll
it.
They'll ban the seesaw because it's bad for your bot.
That will be because it might hit you in the face.
Have you got
trampolines are getting it, copping it left, right, and centre. You can't have bunk beds now. Bunk beds, dangerous.
No, don't worry. That caused a huge furor the day I introduced the bunk beds. This is how kids learn. It's better to fall off a monkey bar and go, oh, that hurt, what I learned there.
I agree.
Stop piss farting around in front of your mates.
I've done the trip to Royal Children's Hospital with the kid.
Have you, what?
Monkey bar?
Monkey bar related.
Yep.
I'll see you.
Absolutely. But, you know, it recovers. I'm telling you, kids love having a plaster cast on their arm.
Pretty cool.
Don't go through that. Rite of passage.
Retention. Your centre of attention.
I'm
next, you won't be able to go skiing. Next, you won't be able to go rollerblading.
Trampoline.
Next, you won't be able to go trampoline.
You've got to wear helmets anyway when you go on a scooter.
Just sit at home. Get on your computer.
Don't do any sport. Don't do anything.
Get a simulated monkey bar and climb it.
Yep.
You little no good
idiot. With VR on and just move your arms and just pretend.
Your arms. Yeah, virtual reality. Get on the thing. What is wrong with the kids? Schools are nuts now.
I'm so sick of signing permission forms. Every time there's an excursion, you have to sign the latest one where I really went, this is it. A form I had to sign to give permission for one of my kids to cook pasta. Because
I beg your pardon?
Wait, what?
He had to touch flour. Is he allergic to flour? There is a stove involved. And is he allowed to cook? Contact number during the day. Second contact number during the day. I'm going, he's cooking. What can go wrong?
He's cooking pasta. Yeah.
This is.
What if he gets his own cooking show one day? You'll be signing releases.
All I seem to be doing.
This is unbelievable. We've got some callers on the line. Yeah. Simon, we'll take Simon straight off the bat, mate. Simon, you had a mishap on a monkey bar?
Yeah, mate, Langwarren Primary School, when I can't remember how old I was, but...
Yeah. Did you learn something from it, mate?
Well, I took a flying leap, hit the ground, and broke my arm, smacked my face up pretty badly.
Yep.
But as soon as I was recovered, I was back on the monkey bar.
Well, so was my kid.
That's what happens, and you've learned a lesson. I bet you didn't fall off again, did you?
No. And also, like Jane alluded to before... When the girls hang upside down and seeing their undies, that was always a good thing.
Right, another rite of passage. Hey, look, we might come back. We've got quite a few board here of what your...
Tell us about it. Have you fallen off the monkey bars?
Nanny
state. Do you remember what is it that's driving you mad?
What other stuff can't your kids do now?
Good Lord.
We're angry.
So angry.
Nanny state time. Give us a ring. 1-3-3-5-3. Take your calls right after this.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
Rules.
This is the world we live in.
We got some rules around here.
Are they joking?
You believe that you are special, but somehow the rules do not apply to you.
This is anarchy.
We should write letters.
Has the world gone mad?
Now what kind of a society is it that would allow such a thing?
Kennedy Malloy.
The rules have just changed.
Living in a nanny state.
You're always making things difficult.
We are angry today, my friends.
Is that Veruca Salt?
And so are some of our callers about the
war on monkey bars.
This is unbelievable. They're trying to take them down. If you can't remove them completely, they're trying to make them lower. They're trying to make them over softer surfaces.
We're going to have no gymnasts in this country, that's for sure.
I'll be good at the floor routine.
Yeah, great.
Or maybe the thing with the ribbon.
Get your ribbon going.
The ribbon will cut someone in the ice. that'll be taken out of it as well.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Why you can't muck around with some of the staples and the monkey bar is a time-honored tradition.
And they want to ban it. And they want to ban the existing
They want to ban it. Like... They want to make it lower. Here's this. The playground gurus want monkey bars replaced with space nets.
Oh, how soft.
You know what a space net is?
Yeah, I do.
It's one of those three-dimensional netting so that if you do come a cropper, your fall will be broken.
Handy if you're in a circus. Perhaps. Not in a local school playground.
Yeah,
what about some tan bark?
If you're on the high tower in Cirque du Soleil, okay.
Correct.
But we're in the garden. Yep. We're mucking around. We're swinging on the monkey bars.
Mickey, we've hit a nerve in Australia. The angry Nick.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Do you have an injury, mate?
Look, you know, I'm a bit on the fence with this one because, yeah, old kindergarten, you're talking 32 years ago. Geez, that's right, I'm getting old now.
32, so you're about four.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm still paying for it now, this year alone.
Why?
How? I had one of my mates do the old, this little piggy goes to market, this little piggy stayed home. Fell down, smacked my chin on one of the bars, and lost a tooth. When the adult one grew back, it was dead, and had to get it replaced. Well, and even this year, it's fallen out twice again. The old bridge.
Dentistry has improved.
Oh well, you know, go back to the dentist, mate. I mean, what you're blaming the monkey bars for this?
I've been back there twice this year already. It's cost me $320 already just to get the bloody thing refitted twice this year.
Oh, bad luck! You should go back to the monkey bars and try again. See if you can do it properly.
Thank you, Nick. We hear your pain, but not really. Hello, Darren.
Hello.
Yeah, Darren,
how are you going?
Got a monkey bar injury?
Yes, I was in grade four and I fell off the monkey bars and proceeded to break my forearm.
Yeah.
Went to the doctor, had it put in plaster, went straight back and swung my one arm on the monkey bars and broke the same arm and then it
Oh, yes.
Oh,
well done. Great work, Darren. we salute you.
That was the attitude. I've broken my arm, it's in plaster. I'm going to go back to the same monkey bars and swing on it with the good arm and break that as well.
Not uncommon.
Prize for Darren.
You got a slab of Brick Lane beer coming your way, well Darren. Done. Well done.
You can hold that under your arms, Darren.
Yes, that's right.
Well done, Darren. That's the Aussie spirit. Paul, you've had a come a cropper on the monkey bars?
I have. G'day, guys. Yeah, I was eating my burger rings and I jumped on the monkey bars and proceeded to fall off and break my wrist and my forearm. And that made me the school legend and got me my first kiss as an eight-year-old.
Oh, yes. Well done. Yes.
See what comes of it.
And was it the burger rings that you reckon helped the grip?
Burgering dust, mate.
It's
a burgering dust. You know what they should do at gymnastics tournaments? You know how they have the little bucket where they put the powder on?
Yeah. Or a power lift.
a big bucket of burgerings.
We like your ideas, Paul.
Maybe they should ban burgerings as well.
Right. I can't believe that's coming from your mouth.
What I'm trying to do is highlight the absurdity of it, Joe.
Oh, correct. Oh, I get it. Thank you, Paul.
Yes.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Hey guys, how you going?
Yeah, good.
2 weeks ago, my beautiful four-year-old little princess was playing with me on the letterbox out the front, slipped, broken arm.
Well, we should ban all mail.
Yep, letterboxes banned, done. Well,
that's why all the mail should be email these days.
Correct.
So kids can't play on an old-fashioned letterbox.
I hope she's learned her lesson, Jason.
Yes. No more letterbox, Dad.
No interacting with Dad on the front step.
Give us a call back during our bad parenting segment.
You'll get another
run for sure. Good on you. Bo? Is it Bo?
Yeah, how you going, mate?
Yeah, good. What happened to you, Bo?
Oh, it happened actually to my little bloke, four-year-old, on the you know, the little speed boats that they have at the shopping centre?
Oh, yeah,
The roundabout thing. Turned around to the chemist, was getting some of the chemist, turned around, fallen off, broke his arm.
Did you put him in it, or what happened?
No. But and Jane, you mentioned 41% increase in the statistics.
Yes.
That's got nothing to do with the bloody monkey bars being any taller.
What's it got?
It's got to do with the fact that we are a nanny state and we're raising soft pussies.
Correct.
We're not letting them climb a tree first. If they climb a tree, they fall out of a tree.
They have no strength.
The bars.
Yeah.
What do we want? What are you creating? A bunch of morons.
Thanks, Bo.
Bunch of morons.
One more?
It's a dickhead policy.
Sure.
Hi, Kathy.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, Kathy, did something happen to you as a kid on a monkey bar?
No, it wasn't me. It was my girlfriend. We had been out drinking when we were in our 20s and... she got stuck in the monkey bar.
What do you mean she got stuck in the monkey bar?
Well, she's well endowed and...
Her boob got caught.
Both.
I think I was there that night.
You tell me. What? Hang on. Kathy, just a minute. Just 1 minute.
Hang on.
Are you telling me your friend got her two boobs stuck in the monkey bars?
Well, yes, because they're quite big, and basically we had to get someone from the block of flats to help us lift them up so we could pull her out.
Was that a man or a woman who helped?
Oh, I can't remember back then. But
Kathy, because you're off your tree.
Off your tree, right? Do we have to call the jaws of life? What happened? We'd have to cut her out of there.
Jaws of life?
Getting the boys from a well. All right, Kathy, if you're not going to take it seriously, I'm calling this to an end.
No, we better give Kathy a prize.
Give Kathy a prize.
$100 worth of Debordley wine.
Oh, well, this has got Monkey Bars written all over it.
That's it. Give it to one of your friends.
Well done, everybody. Go get your kids. Take them down the park. Get them
just
to play.
Just watch them. That's the only thing. I watched my
boys last week on the Monkey Bars. Yep. It was fantastic to see.
Gosh.
Really good stuff.
Good for you. All right.
Your new way to drive home.
Kennedy Malloy. We love Sam Johnson in The Secret Life of Us.
Nah, let's get a focaccia at El Fornaio's.
We loved him as Molly.
Run right out and do yourself a favour.
And we loved him out-acting Mick in Crackerjack.
Sure you don't want me to run your Radox bath there, Jim?
Then Sam showed us his love for his late sister Connie, raising millions and most importantly awareness about breast cancer.
As chief custodian of her legacy, she still is a part of every day that I do.
And he's continuing that legacy with a new book of letters to Santa written by celebs.
There's a lot of unresolved stuff going on, it turns out.
Please welcome Samuel Johnson.
Oh, wow, what a great intro.
And you've got me going too.
Oh, mate.
Jane Kennedy's blowing up.
Oh, I was fine. She's and then you mentioned my sister and tug on the heartstrings.
Was it the bit about him out-acting me? Was that when you burst into tears?
Did you write that bit, Mick?
I didn't write that bit. Before we get into this beautiful book and the reasoning behind it. Yeah. We met each other. Yeah. The first time I met Sam was when he auditioned for the role he ultimately got.
Dare he have to audition, honestly.
At that stage, he wasn't a household name. He was on the way up.
Then I met Mick, though.
But also, too, it was a role I'd written for someone else.
Dave Hughes.
Who still smarts to this day.
Does he really?
Mate, how come I couldn't get a part?
It's because they found a better stoner.
And you did a great audition, and I did it
in my undies.
I don't remember how, but you ended up in your underpants.
Well, that's what the scene required.
That's method acting.
Yeah. Thank you. I wanted to show him how serious
you've
I was.
Done it well, Sam.
And we also worked together, and it doesn't get as much notice, but when you were in your award-winning Molly and your Logie-winning Molly, I felt I was somewhat overlooked as Norm the Kangaroo.
I thought I
had a couple of sensational scenes.
You know what? That's funny, but it's also really true. It was a stunning little turn.
I would
argue probably up there with top 10 cameos of all time on TV.
Oh, well, you're very kind.
Norm the Kangaroo, you should see him. He wasn't coping. He needed
Shell's neighbourhood, wasn't
it? Do you know what? I got in trouble for that.
Yeah, you did get into trouble.
Why? Because he was smoking cigarettes?
No.
The original Norm the Kangaroo took umbrage.
Why?
That's not how you play it.
No way.
I think it was like, you
can't win, mate. You can't win.
Hey, what about this book? Tell us about this. And can I firstly say, you just without trying to embarrass you, but congratulations on all the fine work you do on behalf of your sister. It's incredible stuff. We've watched you travel Australia. You just keep coming. It's an immense thing that you do. And just keeping all this alive, it's a credit to you, mate, and we really appreciate you coming in today to flog a book.
I'm flogging it.
Now, listen, can I just say, it's called Dear Santa, but the name of the book is Samuel Johnson.
Now,
the bar's been set very high here, because there was another
Samuel Johnson.
Pretty famous.
Well, he wrote the dictionary.
The first dictionary. I know.
So there won't be no misspellings.
Samuel Johnson will be turning in his grave.
Samuel Johnson will go bananas. But Jane mentioned it. I mentioned it. What a beautiful looking old.
Well, it's a hardcover old little red book that I can
touch.
It is, and I imagine that parents, aunties, uncles, carers, anyone could sit on the end of a bed and read stories out to kids. But by some of the well-known celebrities in Australia.
So explain the concept.
So it's letters to Santa from Australia's most notorious and best-loved adults.
Oh, okay.
Lots of people have got unresolved stuff happening.
Oh, unresolved issues.
You've got some celebrity friends. You've pulled in some favours.
Yeah,
but
Grant Denyer, Miff Warhurst, Missy Higgins, Helen Garner, Shane Jacobson, Brian Mannix, Molly Meldrum.
And Lee Sayles, I see.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Unfortunately, Norm the Kangaroo was busy. Shannon Noll came in. He needs to be.
I'll be in the revised edition.
Please
Letters
do next
Santa.
Year's. I'd love you to.
And all the proceeds again to this book. And by the way, this has got Christmas written all over it. Yeah. This is a stocking stuffer.
Absolutely.
If ever I've seen.
And beautifully illustrated.
By Sean Tan, the Academy Award winning illustrator from Melbourne.
There you go. You don't miss with your mates, I have to say. Initially, when you were going to you proposed this book, I heard a rumour, Sam, that you said to the editor, I've got this book. I've got all the celebrities. We're ready to go for Christmas.
I was pitching it. I got enthusiastic.
Yes.
And I was like, it's no dramas. It's ready to go. I've already got them in the bank. And then she came back and commissioned it for this year. And I thought it was too soon.
But you didn't contact anyone.
Next year. And they were like, no worries, let's go. I said, when's printing deadline? They said 2 weeks. And I went, no.
Well, testament to your friendship with people and everyone who supports you. You got it done. It's out this Christmas.
It's fantastic.
It's absolutely beautiful.
You've said you're not going to act again until you've raised 10. Am I right in this
regard? Absolutely.
Your goal is to raise $10 million for this charity. Name the charity, please.
I Love Your Sister.
Love Your Sister. And you're 8 million there.
Eight and a half.
Eight and a half.
This book so close, could mate. Just it's about taken me get 7 you. Years.
I can't think of a better present. It's such a lovely idea.
Thank
and
you.
The money, if you embrace the Christmas spirit at all, this must be, this is a must have. Can I ask you, is this a hard time of the year for you in Christmas? How many Christmases have you spent without your sister?
No, I missed last one, but it didn't even feel like Christmas because it was very close to it. So this feels like the first one. Mm. And the number one direction for me, because I've been a bit flat this year, was don't forget, mate, Connie will be telling you to have fun this year. Have a fun Christmas. And so I pulled my head out of my ass. I'm having fun and we've come up with Dear Santa and somehow I've turned it around.
Good
I'm having
you,
fun
mate.
Now.
Oh,
yeah,
you look great. And
thank
it'll be fun. You get to think of all the great times you had with your sister.
The letters are pretty hysterical.
I can't wait.
And you also foster, which I love, friendships between brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things that I really noticed, which I loved.
You know what? They're pretty important to me. It might be because I've got no kids and no parents, but I love my siblings even my alive sister is here with me today watching.
Yes. Hello.
Families, everything.
First,
we know that.
Yeah. Thank you for coming in today. Good luck with the book and thanks for making Jane cry. It always gives me great. I love to see it. They were good tears. They were for your sister. Congratulations.
Thank
to
you, mate. Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Cheers.
Samuel Johnson, Dear Santa, the book, available where you buy your books. loveyoursister.ecwid.com. Kennedy Malloy.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Dr. Chris Brown is going to join us in the next few minutes as well.
In the next. It'll be interesting.
Why will it be interesting?
I hope you're aware. I saw something in the women's mags. You may have a girlfriend. I don't want you to lose. Lose altitude.
I need you to be.
But don't make this awkward. For
I need you to be respectful. You must be respectful.
Yeah, sure.
Because,
what's going?
Well, you know our old friend Cocaine Cassie.
Cocaine Cassie.
We haven't heard from her for a while.
It's a great nickname, isn't it?
I mean, I shouldn't
stop. That to your parents. Hi, this is my girlfriend, Cocaine Cassie.
Yes, I'm Australian drug smuggler Cocaine Cassie.
I'm Cocaine Cassie. I'm a mule.
Currently in prison in Colombia. What could go wrong?
All right. So what's happening? Why is she in there?
Well, she's spoken out about something. She's silent. She's quietly dating someone.
Isn't she in a women's prison?
Look, she hasn't specified whether she's dating someone male or female.
Sure.
Could be a guard.
As is her.
Who knows?
Want.
Yeah.
Well, she did reveal something quite shocking, that she has broken up with Scott, the one that she was getting married to.
See, that's amazing to me that that's finally broken up.
It is amazing, isn't it? Who would have thought that
would fall apart? I mean, he put up with so much. I mean, he'd say, why are you going to New South Wales every weekend? Oh, I'm cleaning a building. Really? How much are they paying you? $6,000? Really? Yeah, it's a lot of cleaning.
Mick, somehow.
It's a good cleaning job.
Yeah.
Never given that up.
He's come out of it a bit better than she has, don't you think?
Why?
Well, he's not in a prison in Colombia.
True, but he didn't mule any drugs either, so there's that.
Well, okay. I'm not even going to say that. It's just when I think about...
What's she up to in there? Why is she in the news, though?
Because she said she's just talking about this relationship that she's in, but I just made me...
I'm not sure that's the relationship. I'm a bit...
What are you saying?
Well, it's interesting.
Oh, my God, no, not another
we
one.
We might have to pop her on my list.
What do you mean?
Oh, no,
well,
I
find Cocaine Cassie ticks a few boxes.
Okay, let me just...
I
have the list.
She's a...
She's joining your list of hotties.
She's a former escort.
Right.
Drug mule. Yep. Chicken mule.
She's ticking all the boxes. Yeah.
Well, you've got.
Let's just go through.
And you know my thoughts on the conjugal visit.
I know.
I love it. It's,
but
it's,
usually
it's,
it involves yourself.
If it has to involve someone else, it may as well be. You know.
Can I go through your
Colombian
list?
Prison? See you there.
Mm.
Well, there's a lot of competition for her. Mm. Samantha Markle. Yeah.
Check.
Chappelle Corby.
Check.
Gina Reinhart.
Well, you know,
yep. She's actually, I think Gina might be, I'm crossing off the list.
Why?
She's currently dating a Norwegian captain of her big ship going
that
around.
Does not bother me at
doesn't
all.
Doesn't bother you? You're going to cut his Norwegian lunch. Sandwich lunch. His smorgasbord.
Cut his Norwegian wood.
Tangy, oh, and then we've got to get, we've got three chicken heiresses.
Yep. Three chicken heiresses.
Tangingham, Lucy Steggles and Carla Methven.
And a partridge and a pear tree. Yep.
Princess Beatrice.
Beatrice.
You've got to get in there quick.
You put that one on my list.
Yeah, because up. She's met someone.
Renee Lawrence.
A billionaire. Renee Lawrence.
Renee Lawrence is
and now we're adding Cocaine Cassie. You have got, I reckon we've got a reality show here.
Okay.
You're the Bachelor and these are the contestants.
It's time to go. Okay. Cocaine Cassie. Oh, no. You hang in there to the end, though. Right. The only ones remaining are chicken heiresses. Coming up, Dr.
There's
Chris Brown.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy. Strap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Molloy.
Massive hour up on blocks, ready for your perusal. I call bullshit, Jane Kennedy, we'll be doing.
Yes, I look at the women's magazines headlines only. I don't even go inside and you've got to guess
whether
it's bullshit or not.
Oh, I can't wait. I think I know how it's going to come down.
You might have done some research on one, actually.
I have done a bit of research and I will give you the full guff. This story will blow your head off your shoulders. It involves a dead princess.
Oh, my God.
And her previously unborn child, which could now be... All right.
Whoa.
Wow, they've done their homework.
You've got to hang around, everybody, to hear this. Is incredible.
We'll take your calls, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top with one of our favourite guests has been over our first year. He's given us great support and we always love catching up with him.
We do.
Make him welcome. It's Dr. Chris Brown.
Oh, good afternoon.
Chris, how are you?
Nothing makes a grown man more nervous than a glowing introduction like that.
Oh, really?
Maybe. Yeah.
You have no need to be nervous.
No, I didn't think
nothing to be nervous around us. I mean, Mick, maybe. But...
Jane's a little upset. She's got her nose out of joint. She read something about your new girlfriend.
No, don't bring it up.
Your alleged girlfriend.
Don't bring it up.
Thank you.
If you want to comment or not, but you probably could have...
Well, I don't believe it anyway.
Kevin Jane are cool. Well, pretty hard not. What's not to believe?
What's happening?
They went shopping together, jumped into a white Range Rover full of gear, and went off on what was, I'm just calling, a dirty weekend.
I think in Bondi, a white Range Rover full of gear means something else entirely different. But
I did want to get back to the white Range Rover, which I thought.
What were you doing visiting Bondi, by the way?
Yes.
Can I correct you? Oh. You know the rules around that. Can I correct you on one thing? I was actually seen at a roadhouse.
That upsets me even more because it's even
like
more sounds even better.
Carrying a bag of you know, 3-day-old dim sims. So if there's any new relationship, it's with multiple fried foods, and I think that's the exciting thing that should have you titillated.
That's right, and that's enough.
Clearly, you don't need to comment.
Don't probe.
You just
anymore.
Need to know Jane's been hauling off.
I haven't been.
On
here. Don't worry.
I've got the audio. If you want to
hear. Oh no, don't.
Maybe not.
You don't want to play that.
Really?
Okay, on. Let's have a look.
Okay.
Sorry. She's his PA.
No.
Simple. She was doing some shopping for him. She'll cook all the food for him, drop him off, and then go home to her lonely, sad life with her cats.
Wow, Jane.
So Jane's taking it well. As you could have mentioned.
Sure, Chris. There was a bit of schadenfreude in that. But I wish you well.
You know,
look, clearly, and clearly you believe I have a type.
Yeah.
Just the lonely cat lover.
Now, if anything happens...
And you wouldn't be far from the mark.
There you go.
If anything happens to your said girlfriend or friend, if she goes missing or it turns up with her ankles broken, having disappeared for a weekend, you know what to do. Now, let's get to the bottom. Have you got some stories, Jane, that you'd like
look,
to hop
one of
into?
The things, I know we've been having a bit of a laugh. I can't get my head around this. Chris, what about the 145 whales that have stranded themselves in New Zealand? What is that all about? And it's so upsetting.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories around whale strandings, and this one's, like, it's especially sad because we're talking about such a huge number of pilot whales who are, you know, they're intelligent animals, so it doesn't really make sense that they just all of a sudden go ahead and beach themselves. So the theories are around either a disease that sort of got inside the population, because pilot whales tend to hang out in groups, almost like families, almost like, you know, in terms of families, like what we had up until a few minutes ago is like a family. That's
okay.
Gone.
Sure.
That's gone. Yep. But also with the pilot whales, sometimes when you get these occasional changes in the magnetic fields of the Earth, and whales are great navigators, and so they can actually navigate using these fields. And if they go a bit awry, then where they think there is actually open water, they'll go straight for it.
And because they can communicate with each other, but they're going, oh, hey, guys, everyone come this way. Trust me, it's all okay.
Can I give you my theory? It's attention-seeking. You know, they're going around, they're having a ball, and they go, you know what, let's go call some, let's go have some fun, guys. Let's beach ourselves. Let's get some greenies to roll us back into the ocean. That's always fun.
Summer holidays, right? Take the family to the beach.
I mean, you
seemed like a good idea at the time, but unfortunately it's not. And look, it is very sad. And they do try to get these guys back into the water. And a lot of the time, the biggest enemy of a whale when it gets beached is actually the fact that it's the first time in its life it feels gravity. So you're talking about an animal that weighs, you know, 10, 20 tons.
Can you stop looking at me?
tell me about it.
Are you looking at both of us?
Nothing in particular. I'm just trying to claw back any sense of self-respect I had before I strolled into this studio.
It's gone.
I'm so sorry.
You're a whale. You don't need lots, not a lot going on in your life. Just give the Nishin Maru a wide berth and you're home and hosed. But to go and beach yourself, hey, whales, you snooze, you lose. You knew it was there.
Yeah.
Bad luck.
You're going to say it's their fault.
I'm saying the whales need to know.
He's a bit dark like that, Chris.
That you need to get
all right.
Your stuff together.
I'm going to quickly go on to the next. Please. So shall we? Okay.
No, go.
A study suggests that women who share their beds with dogs sleep better. Putting my hand up. You're scoffing?
No.
Is it over between us already?
I think I'm into cat lovers. With
yeah, sorry, you are.
What I love about this, I saw this same study. They actually compared three groups. You're leaving out the important facts here.
Oh, I know.
Not just dogs, but also cats and men.
I forgot that bit. So women sleep better with dogs, but... Yeah, okay.
So cats and men, I guess, you know, there's concern over when they wake up and there's a sound of someone licking themselves. They're not really sure exactly who it is, and you can only assume it's the...
Steady.
You hope it's the cat. So it's...
Steady, Chris.
It's, yeah. So
can
there's
I say
a sense
I
of
sleep better with someone else? Just say I sleep with a male. I'm not being coy about it.
There's a hypothetical.
I'm not being coy.
Let's go
but
with that.
If the dog's on the bed, I say there's a better night's sleep all around.
Well, it's... You know why? It's comfort and security. That's what they believe it is. It's that sense, that sensation that, you know, you feel like everything's all right in the world, that you're in a safe, caring, loving environment. Once again, very different to what we have on this show right now.
Wow, we're in big trouble.
Far removed from it. But, yeah, it's a nice thing. It's actually, it's also why they believe that people with dogs tend to live longer, healthier, happier lives and go to the doctor less.
I've been growled at a few times.
by someone's dog.
On an away game.
Handy to have something to blame, though, isn't it, Mickey, for all sorts of different sounds and all sorts of different odours. It's
That's right.
Very convenient thing.
Hold that thought right there, Dr. Chris Brown.
Please don't go now.
We're going to come back and talk to you more about stuff from what the animal kingdom is doing right now.
All right.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy. Kennedy Molloy.
Dr. Chris Brown is with us, by the way. The Living Room Fridays at 7:30 on Network 10 and the Win Network as well.
And what's the new show coming up, Chris, that you're working on?
So it's called Sunday Night Takeaway.
Yep.
So it's a it's probably the hardest show on television to describe exactly what it is, which is always good. It's like a variety entertainment tonight show. Bizarrely enough, on Sunday night.
and probably all you need to say is that it's with Julia Morris and people get an idea immediately.
Good Lord.
Because the relationship you two have is awesome and funny and, you know, who knows what's going to ensue.
We're no Kennedy Molloy, but, you know, we're working on it. We're slowly building to that.
We should do a double date sometime, the four of us. It'll be fun. Yeah.
Look, well, we should.
What could go wrong? And when's the jungle? I think. Did I hear a rumour that you'll be going early this year? What happened?
We are, yeah. So mid-January we're back. We're back there, and we've just finalised, or very close to finalising, the cast.
Have
so
you really
put Miguel in there? Can you put him in the jungle? How good would that be?
Miguel. Yeah, but
can you imagine?
Oh no, that would be fantastic.
You'd have to shoot him in the ass with a tranquilizer dart. You'd have to put him down on a nightly basis.
Every Friday night at about 7 o'clock, we do that just to bring him down to a sort of an audible level for television audiences. So we'll just up the dose for getting through 4 weeks.
Okay.
It'll be just fine.
Now, listen, can you settle something for us? We've had a raging debate on this program. I think I'm right. Jane thinks she's right. We had listeners calling in. We're talking about the shape of wombat
poo.
And why is it square? Here's how it unfolded on the program.
They
Stupu's square, it comes out square.
Oh. It's pretty incredible, don't you think?
Yeah. They put it on top of logs or rocks. Firstly, they do it to mark their territory because the boys are pretty aggro against each other.
Oh.
Oh, okay. And, you see yeah. that and you back off.
And they do it to attract women.
Oh.
Well, that's what I'm going to start with. Now, I maintain they shape it after it's excreted, so they sit around and then sculpt it like an ice sculptor.
Right, and what did I say to that?
Like a scene out of Ghost.
Thank you, Chris. See, we're this destined little, to be together. Exactly what I said.
This little paws just leaning in.
It's just the wombat version of Ghost. That's well, the what body shape isn't. Two body... wombats, one holding the other while he shapes it.
The body shape isn't quite Patrick Swayze, but you know, you get the idea.
What is going on with their square-shaped poo, mate?
So, you know, in the vein of research that you never really knew was necessary, that they have actually found the exact reason, and it's partly territorial, but the real reason they believe they do it is because Australia, like Mick Molloy in a bar at closing time, there's not much to drink. And the water...
Oh, he's a bit parched.
So wombats are consistently in dry environments. So when they can't find much water, they have to conserve it. And where they lose a lot of water is actually through their poo. So,
oh. so it's like a cask. It's like a square shape. It's like a cask. And you put a tap on it.
So what they're doing is actually their bowel is actually compressing it in the most efficient way to suck out all the water before wow. they actually pass it out. A lot of people thought they had square buttholes, but it's actually,
yeah, that's what
yeah. Jane was suggesting.
No,
it's all to conserve the water, and they found that the shape of their intestine actually molds it into this unique shape.
So could they also do like balloon animals? they do you like a giraffe or like a little doggy or something?
I don't think so.
You just need to ask Mickey. I'm sure anything is possible. Also, you know, there are actually industrial applications they're talking about. Genuinely, people are going, well, if they can shape this using their intestine, maybe in industry we can actually create perfect cube shapes using something that's modelled on the wombat intestine, you know, to create, I guess, violet crumble squares or clinkers.
Low-cost houses. I don't know.
We need humans to give this a crack, that's for sure.
Hey, you got any dog stories, Jane? I love a good dog story.
Well, I do have a dog story, yes. And it happened in China. So the dog's actually lucky it wasn't
I'm always nervous
a meal.
When you say that.
a 47-year-old woman in South China was actually left paralysed from the neck down.
This is a great cheering story.
She was hit by a falling dog from a factory. But she's suing the property owner.
Not being paid much.
Well, there's a few things that are bothering me.
Must be raining cats and dogs.
What I love too is this story. It says,
take next week off, me. Oh, you are.
It's 3 days to go, Chris. 3 days to go.
This is what I love too in this story that was in the Daily Mail, surprisingly enough. After she was discharged after being hit in the by the
hit
dog.
By a dog. What type of dog was it? Can I ask? Was it like now, a small dog or a big dog? Was it like a mastiff? That would have hurt.
It looks like a shih tzu.
Do you know what a shih tzu is?
it's a zoo without animals.
Cop that, Will Anderson. Yeah. Even Dr. Chris Brown can do it. Haven't seen you attempt it.
Well, after being discharged from hospital, the woman, and in this story actually, by the way, it says Zhan Ping, not her real name.
She's stepping away from this one.
Yes. Sorry to laugh at that, but good Lord. Anyway, so she's been hit and I'm just wondering if there's many...
She's been hit?
She's been hit by a dog. No one's admitted to owning the dog, which is another problem.
What floor did it fall from? Do you know what floor it fell from?
They're pretty high rises in knowing my knowledge of the Guangzhou province of China.
My question for Chris is,
should people really think about giving dogs as gifts for Christmas?
Are you saying it was deliberately piffed overboard?
Possibly.
He took the long way around. he took in all regionals on the way on that tour there. But
it's an international show, Chris.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. And yes is the answer, a very simple answer to your very long question. People should not be considering pets for Christmas unless you've done your research. Spend that time. Make sure it's not a surprise for someone because obviously it's not suitable. But, I mean, who am I to pass judgment on anything animal related? I was in the vet clinic the other day and we called I had a client come in and I walked them through to the room where I do my work and they stopped in their tracks and they go, oh my God, you're, I was like, yeah. and they go, but it's, I mean, it's bizarre because you're the guy that plays Dr. Chris in that vet shop. It's like, no, well, it's not a drama. It's not an actor. I may have an oversized jawline reminiscent of someone off Bold and the Beautiful. But, you know,
Chris.
But
spectacular.
I actually do this for a job.
So yeah well, we love that. Now, we're going
to
have a few calls.
Can I put it to you, just to Chris Remfoy, when do you know it's the right time to put a dog down? I mean, and do you need a reason?
I think like ending on a high note. Okay.
What are you saying?
I was having a laugh. Come on, let's not go there.
Chris.
do you need a reason? Well, can you just come in and go, yeah, it's not very happy with this week.
That's another whole
bit of
subject.
Misbehavior.
Are we going to say goodbye to Chris now, or do we?
Well,
he looks like he's pretty, keen to go.
Have you got your little nephew there?
I do.
What's his name?
He's sitting right here.
Has he got headphones?
He does.
Can he hear us?
Finley.
He can hear us.
How are you, mate?
Hi, mate. How are you? Come on, put him on air. Let's see how he goes.
You want to have a little chat? Come on, Finn.
No.
The
bar's pretty high with Uncle Chris. Let me give you the tip. But we wish you well in your cricket, mate.
He was in here before and we had to lock the door. He just wanted to leave, to be honest. He listened to a few minutes and he was trying to leave out of here.
I tell you what we'll do, Chris. We'll let you go now. We're running a bit over time. Yep. We wanted to thank you very much for your fine contribution and putting up with our rubbish and Jane's irascible behaviour and quite
awkwardness.
Awkward. It's been awkward
on
occasion.
It's nothing awkward,
but
from my end.
You've been a thoroughbred professional, and that's the main thing.
Thank you. You've said your piece. And Jane Kennedy, those words of yours will echo from my mind
those
long, lonely summer holidays.
I'll read them out at the wedding ceremony. Good on you, Chris.
Try to find someone to impress you, Jane. That's all I'm about.
Oh, Chris. I know.
Chris,
thanks, guys.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
I've got Woman's Day.
Mm. All right, now what are you? Are we playing?
We're playing a game.
I call bullshit.
Yeah,
you do this. You usually do it on a Monday. We didn't get round to it yesterday.
I do it with both mags.
You got a fresh swag of women's mags.
I got all of them. I've got new idea.
Explain what you do.
I look at the front cover, and they focus on about five or six stories. And I say to me, I call bullshit on.
Whatever the headline is.
Whatever the headline is. Are you ready for me to go
tell
around
you what,
the circle?
You call a fair amount of a balderdash.
I love it. I love it.
Here we go.
Okay. Carl's wedding crisis. Yasmin's already married.
I call bullshit.
What do you mean?
Well, they've got a picture of Carl on his mobile phone and something that looks like a wedding certificate of anybody. In a little corner.
Well, surely she would have to fess that up beforehand.
Of course. Wouldn't that have come up?
Do you know what I blame? If he had have got the Bucks party right, maybe this is a good reason. Maybe it's a fake Bucks party that they can't have. See, you've been cursed.
You've
Carl.
Got it in for Grant Kenny too. Yeah.
Grant Kenny is on my list. I'll take you on an Iron Man competition. Hey.
Next one.
What?
Grandpa Charles's, this is Prince Charles, special bond with Prince Louis.
I call bullshit.
He does not want to hold this baby. He's got this is the kid that grabbed him on the honker.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to behead him. He's not happy. Or he'll curse him at least.
Oh, yeah.
Or he'll have no title.
Well, at least Louis's not as evil as George.
Fair enough.
George is a big fat, like, pumpkin head with an evil streak. Don't you agree?
I do.
Yeah, see? No,
you ready?
No call there? That's good.
You're
shut up.
Posh and Becks. $1.7 billion divorce. The explosive new nanny scandal that ended it all.
I call bullshit.
You're saying that they're not.
They've just travelled to Australia. Mm. He stopped off somewhere in Mossman at a cafe and deli and got her a carrot.
That's right.
They're getting on fine. And any guy that does that for his wife has got to be quite happy and things are going
on.
Well,
what about remember Rebecca Lewis?
Oh, do you have to bring that up?
That was the nanny.
Oh, yeah.
That was
long time
ago. I would have thought
ago.
If they were going to do it, they would have done it then.
Hey, let's add Rebecca Lewis to your list of women.
Rebecca Lewis, but she
I think she'll
a
still look good. I think she'll still be in good shape.
She can nanny my boys. You come around. Who's your new nanny?
I'm always thinking
of you. Haven't you met Rebecca?
I'm such a good woman.
Rebecca, right. Get out of bed.
Here's another one. You ready, Dave?
Yes. Hang on, I might add her to the list.
Right,
I will.
Give me some pictures of Rebecca.
Are you ready?
What?
Coleslaw is cool again.
I call bullshit.
Went out of style.
Oh, coleslaw is
cool again.
Artichokes are fab, dude.
All right, and this one.
Hang on.
It's on the front page.
Why is that on the front page?
Coleslaw is cool again.
Wow.
Breaking news.
I'll be the judge of
that. All right, this
one. Says Matt Preston.
Harry and Meghan's shock over Diana's secret daughter.
I call bullshit.
No. I think this one's for real.
Well, hang on.
Wait.
I beg your pardon.
Haven't you heard this story? I've done some research on this.
No, there's a picture of Princess Diana and a blonde woman with blue eyes next to her.
That's the secret daughter.
How can you have a secret daughter if you're a woman and not know you had a daughter?
All right, Jane, I'm going to tell you what happened. Okay. And this is according to the Women's Mag.
Right.
So early on in the piece, and by the way, good on them for still mining the dead of Princess Diana's life.
And still getting her on the front cover.
A real classy move.
Yep.
But this is what, and the story, this is what's so intriguing and believable. So what happened was early in the piece when Charles and Di got together, they weren't sure if, they had to make sure that Diana could have a baby.
All right.
So what they did is they took her embryo.
They took an embryo.
In vitro fertilization, Jane. But hello. Get with the modern day. Mm. So they took her egg and they took her some sperm.
What?
And they just wanted to make sure you could fertilize her egg anyway.
Like in vitro.
To make sure
she
was
in a petri dish.
Make sure she was good to go. Make sure there was a future King of England coming down the pike. Anyway, bingo, bango, all good. So, yep. Go and get married. So they go and get married. Anyway, in the meantime, some evil doctor.
the evil doctor who did the in vitro.
Listen to me, Jane.
I'm listening. I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm practically sitting on your knee.
Has fertilised it and put it into another woman's body.
Right.
She's had the... Shut up, Jane. This is true. She's then had the baby.
She's a surrogate.
She's had the full
surrogate.
Child of Princess Charles and Diana.
What, 30 years
30
ago?
30 years ago. And so then she's turned up and gone, hi, I'm home. And they've gone, what the hell? Come with us. took that picture, which is uncanny, even though it looks a bit like a photo fit.
It is a Photoshop picture.
And then said, you have to go and you must never be seen.
Far away.
You know why?
Why?
Because she would be the heir to the throne because she's older than both Harry and William.
Oh.
Now, this is the greatest story.
Michael bullshit.
Where are the holes in that? I ask you.
Okay.
Where are the holes in that story?
So did you actually open this magazine and read this story?
I believe every word of that.
I say that's the best royal story I've ever heard in my life. Her name's Sarah.
It's all true.
Oh.
And she's got Diana's stunning blue eyes. That is the best I've ever heard.
We rest our case. Hey, maybe you've got one you want to add to the pile.
Anything
give us a
you've
call.
Heard lately.
Yeah, give us a ring. 1-333-53.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
The world's going to lose its mind.
What are you talking about?
Guess what's coming back?
What?
Little shop collectibles.
Oh, what are you talking about? Coles.
Coles collectibles, which I think has been one of the most successful campaigns of all time.
Yeah.
It did make people lose their tiny minds. They would hang at the end.
They went cocoa bananas.
They went cocoa bananas. We've got them still in bags at home. Doing nothing. I go, what? You've got them all. Now what do we do with them?
I'd love to get a psychiatrist or some kind of report into why that took off.
Well, apparently Woolworths did and they released their own range.
They've got one going. And now Coles has counted with their Christmas
Woolworths
little
have
shop
to pop
collectibles.
Up.
What's in it?
All right. It's mince pies.
Oh, yum. Blah.
Now, can you just hold the fire there?
Yeah.
Can I interject?
Sure.
You just launched one of the greatest broadsides on the meat pie, on the mince pie I've ever heard. What's your beef with
what
the mince pie?
Mince pies were invented.
Because Dave loves them.
I do.
I couldn't care less for
in
them.
In the super olden days when people didn't have enough money to put beautiful sweet apples or pears or apricots or other stone fruit because it's delicious. They go, what's in the cupboard that lasts for about 10 years is dried up and disgusting. Mm-hmm. Let's put raisins and
terrible.
Sultanas and they're horrible.
Delicious.
Who likes them?
Me.
Freaks.
So no mince pies on the agenda at your house?
No.
Jeez.
Suppose you hate fruitcake as well.
Yes, I do.
Oh, what's
same
wrong with
fruitcake? Same dip.
It's Christmas.
Olden days world. Ooh, I better get my glazed cherries. What is that, by the way? It's not a cherry.
You're the Christmas Grinch or something.
I'm not. Dried fruit.
Yum.
It's repulsive. Plum pudding.
A bit of alcohol in there, isn't there?
We have to put up with the plum pudding every year.
What's wrong with the plum pudding now?
Come on.
It's mum's job. Mum goes, I'm bringing the raised plum pudding with the custard and the ice cream.
Is there anything that you enjoy?
I like the
about?
Turkey and the ham and the presents and the alcohol.
All right.
You can also get a gingerbread biscuit. bonbons, a pavlova. Pavlova's great.
Why is a gingerbread man associated?
Because
with Christmas?
That's they make little gingerbread biscuits and Christmas trees and things with that. That's better. Is gingerbread,
that, is that
I can
everyone
do.
Everyone used to be poor.
Yes, everyone used to be poor. Everyone was poor. Now people can afford a pavlova.
So what are you having? So what are they going to have in their collectibles?
I've told you they've got mince pies, pavlova,
hey,
bonbons,
me.
A gingerbread biscuit, and a limited edition gingerbread ice cream. Here's the interesting thing: they're all Coles brand.
Mm. Ooh, I hope they've got a little Coles beer in there.
Ooh,
just brewed at my brewery.
You're the king of brewing. Anyway, I can believe they do it because it was such a success. Please, everybody, have manners.
Oh, all right.
After you've just launched on everything, I'm now going to suggest that
you. Why is that? I'm saying have manners.
Please, everyone, don't forget, it's a giving time of year.
Have manners.
Take time out to hug your neighbour. You've just launched have a manners. Broadside.
Have manners.
Stick your mince pie up your ass is the subtext of your latest brand.
Have manners at the checkout.
Wow, hey.
All right. Don't harass the cashiers.
Oh, Merry Christmas, everyone.
If you like a mince pie, feel free to keep them.
Jeez, sorry, all those poor people out there that enjoy a mince pie. Jesus. All right.
We've got some calls of support too, by the way. A lot of mince pie.
Yes, I have.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Christmas Grinch is in town.
I'm not the Christmas Grinch.
You have gone
berserk. You know
what?
Boom. I'm honest. I'm just honest.
Oh, well, why don't you tell the kids where Santa Claus comes from?
No, it doesn't matter. I don't buy mince pies in my house because everyone goes, yuck,
you don't
disgusting.
Mind chucking a few, though. Mm. And I tell you what, the phones have lit up. There's a fair bit of support for you out there. Anne-Marie's on the line. Anne-Marie, what did you want to say?
Oh, I totally agree with Jane. Dead fly pie.
Thank you. It is dead fly pie.
You're getting the wrong ones.
Well, what do you say?
No. I've tried them all.
I make them and they still look like dead fly pie to me.
No, they can carry a bit of weight too.
They're heavy.
You could knock someone out with a mince pie.
And you know what? I have to sort of think about my calories, how I'm going to use them. One mince pie or a bottle of rosé.
Okay.
You've got to count your calories.
I think we know which way you're leaning, Jane. Thank you, Anne-Marie.
Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Nicole, what would you like to add to the conversation?
Yeah, I'm with Jane too. Every year our grandmother would serve up plum pudding. She'd fill it with the pennies. So we would all have a serve, but we weren't touching those dead flies.
I agree. But I say it's harking back to another time, another era, and it's 2018.
You had your say, Jane.
Okay,
yeah,
you can get a $2 pav from down the street. You don't have to spend a lot of
poor
money.
Listeners, why don't you go and bake some mince pies?
$10,000
and throw them out the window of your Lexus as you drive through poor suburbs.
P.S. I don't have a Lexus.
Laurie, what happened to you? Do you agree, disagree? What are you saying?
Yeah, mate, I was fighting with you, Jane. I had a bad run back in the mid-60s. Me nanny used to cook friggin' plum pudding and Pop used to shoot rabbits. I ate a bloody shotgun pellet for lunch and then I ate a threepence out of the friggin' plum pudding.
Don't tell me you lost a tooth over it, Laurie.
Oh, Jesus, I had nothing to spend either. You used to spend the threepence.
Mate, that's no good. And just because you copped a shotgun pellet and your rabbit...
You mean some mince pies. Jane's going to make you a tray of mince pies.
We've got a prize for you,
Laurie. We do indeed. And it's a Kennedy Malloy prize pack coming your way. Laurie, thanks for listening through Triple M Bendigo.
Hello to
Bendigo.
And we've had a few calls about the
war on monkey bars.
Mm. Well, it's
ridiculous.
This has provoked and stirred great reaction. Amy Martin or Arnie Martin, I'm not sure. Probably shouldn't have read that out. Anyway, I'm a primary school PE teacher in Adelaide. I refuse to give junior primary, that's up to year two, a passing grade at the end of the year if they cannot cross the monkey bars themselves. It is as much a developmental milestone as hopping or skipping. Well said.
Hashtag save the bars.
Save the bars.
Well done,
Bring
everyone.
Bring back the monkey bars.
Lawrence Mooney's going to join us tomorrow. Grab the podcast from today's show. We'll see you then for a Wednesday. Kennedy Malloy.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.